we're preparing to make the exact same mistakes as we made in Afghanistan in the 80s. Those little girls, those little boys that go to school with my daughter, they're going to be going and they're going to be fighting there again. We can do something different about it. Flip-flops.
Donald Lee and Matthew Griffin, aka Lee and Griff, served multiple tours in Afghanistan as members of the Elite Army Special Operations Force, the 75th Ranger Regiment. They used to trek through rugged mountains, hunting Al-Qaeda and Taliban fighters who thought they could hide there during the punishing Afghan winters. They faced a common paradox of modern warfare, winning hearts and minds while conducting raids armed to the teeth.
When you're going into these places, it's stressful enough. Here you have these big barrel-chested freedom fighters coming into these remote mountain villages.
Now that they've left active duty, they believe there's a better path to peace. Selling flip-flops.
I think people tend to forget that we're not there to fight Afghans. We were there to remove a foreign guest from their territory.
How did you get started with combat flip-flops?
I had the opportunity to go back with a medical organization. When I was there, I was watching businesses just crush it. Businesses were providing opportunity. Businesses were starting to take over every street. And I would interact with these business owners, and they would say, no, you're fine. We love visitors. We just don't like invaders.
So Lee and Griff joined forces once again with a new mission, Combat Flip-Flops, a company that flips the battle on how wars are won through their business, not bullets mantra.
I was fortunate enough to go visit an Afghan boot factory, and I witnessed, you know, the best of America has to offer this industry. This beautiful, clean boot factory, and you're employing 300 people who are employing 5 to 13 family members each. Huge social impact. After asking the factory manager, you know, what's going to happen to all these people when the war ends, and his response to me was, oh yeah, all these people are going to go out of work. Immediately that didn't sit right with me, and I literally turned to my half left, and there on this table was a combat boot sole with a flip-flop thong punched through it. So I picked it up, and it was just so niche-y, and it was kind of ugly and cool all at the same time, and the thought occurred to me, was like, yeah, Americans will buy this all day. And so our plan was, when we first started, was, hey, let's make some commercial production here so that way they can stop manufacturing parts for war and start manufacturing parts for peace.
Give them the opportunity that they would otherwise not have unless it was by some radical group. You know, hey, go plant a bomb for $50.
But converting a military-financed boot factory to commercial flip-flop production proved difficult in Afghanistan due to the lack of other infrastructure. It was a lesson they learned the hard way.
It was painful.
We landed on the ground and found them to be 100% defective. So we opted to give away all 2,000 pair to people in need in Afghanistan, found another factory and put 4,000 more pair of flip-flops down on a personal credit card. And we got our call as they're closing the doors on the raw materials in the container to say, hey, we just lost our boot contract.
It was at that point where we're just like, you know what? Ship the materials here. We're going to build them here. It was a family affair.
Friends from 5 a.m. to midnight for months, putting thousands of pairs of flip-flops together.
Still armed with their objective of employing people in conflict zones, they weren't satisfied slinging thongs out of Griff's garage, so they turned their attention to a different kind of war, producing a similar kind of situation.
Colombia, when we looked at it, you know, Colombia's kind of dicey. You know, it kind of fits our model. Afghanistan and Colombia are very similar in the fact that they're mountain people, living in a developing nation, who's recovering from a narco-finance counterinsurgency war. We've been waging the war on drugs in Colombia. You know, finally, we got around to realizing that, hey, not only can we, you know, fight this on a military front, but we can also fight this on an economic front and have more positive, sustainable change.
People do what they have to do to feed their families, so it's common sense, right? What happens when there's no jobs? Crime goes up, right? You give them jobs, you give them honest wage, crime goes down.
Well, as you guys say, what, free markets and free minds? Like, yeah, that's how you do it. Yeah.
They pumped up production while helping locals move from cartels to craftsmanship. But Griffin Lee still had unfinished business in Afghanistan, so they hatched a plan to go back and make silk chamas in a female-owned factory. They partnered with Hasina Sherjan, who had previously started clandestine schools for girls under the Taliban.
To go up and actually do this while the Taliban was in power, to smuggle books and teachers in and create these underground schools, that, you know, that woman's got it together, right?
She's pretty cool.
Yeah.
In partnership with Sherjan's charity, Aid Afghanistan for Education, each product Combat Flip-Flops makes in her Kabul-based factory now funds between a day to a month of school for women.
The women there, they're the constant. They have been the widows, and they've been fighting there for 30 years. There's only 15% of the women in Afghanistan are literate, and they're raising these young males. And if you have an illiterate mom, chances are you're going to have an illiterate kid. And so if you want to change how these radicals are getting recruited, if you want to take their recruitment base away from them, you will educate women. All of them. that's what we're aiming to do with that.
From sales just in 2015, they say they have provided over 21 years of school to Afghan girls. Building on this model, Combat Flip Flops ties new products to a social good, like Tom's, but accessible to non-hipsters.
How much do you put towards those projects while keeping a viable business?
If you tell somebody you're going to give away 10 to 20% of your profits, they're going to look at you sideways, but it's a sustainable model for us because we run so lean and we use technology to our advantage.
The company is on track to triple its sales this year, despite getting flop blocked by Uncle Sam.
I have stuff held up in customs right now on a customs hold for a product that's going to put little Afghan girls in school. I got to pay a 14% duty tariff on it. Three-time Afghan vet running a small business. We've been fighting there for 14 years. I lost six brothers there, and we can't push the policy through to promote businesses between two countries. It's sad.
But they don't plan to stop anytime soon. In Laos, they hired artisan families to turn scrap from unexploded landmines into jewelry, which funds further demining of the area.
You just end up assembling your own flip-flops in your garage, and then you kind of explode back out. You have products in Laos and Colombia and elsewhere. How do you find those communities?
The job that we performed in the military, if you needed to get got, we would go get you. We did that hunting down people for years. So it's a very easy transition and a very actually fun transition to be able to go do that in a positive manner in a business. The US dropped 250 to 280 million landmines over Laos in the 60s to deny the Viet Cong access to the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
Ready, now.
I think it's the equivalent of a B-52 load every 8 minutes for 9 years.
Now.
You know, we've seen the effects of it. We used to drop those bombs and we know what it does. We know the damage that it causes firsthand, and stuff's been laying around there for 40 years now. There's nearly 50 million of them on the ground, and over half the victims are kids. We've been doing the same thing since, what, Vietnam, and it really doesn't seem to be working.
Combat Flip Flops has partnered with Mag America to clear 1,200 square meters of landmines this year, all from sales of their bomb bling. But Griffin Lee won't rest until they've brought their way of nation building to one more war-ravaged country.
In the same way that we leave a vacuum when we end all the defense contracts elsewhere, same thing here.
Faucets cut off. You're seeing small American businesses suffer because of what's going on. So we said, hey, you know, we'll make a product in an American defense manufacturer from another veteran-owned business, and we'll start selling briefcases and bags. We have the most talented, team-oriented people in the world coming back and working their way into our society, and we deserve to give them every opportunity.
I think what drives us is just the being able to help people. No matter what happened over there, no matter what I saw over there, I always go back to this one memory, and I was sick and I got off that helicopter and I had 102 fever. We were above 10,000 feet and we're just snow on the ground. I think it was like 4 in the morning local during Ramadan. And I'm standing outside watching this road, just freezing, sick, you know, ready to pass out. And this Afghan woman sends her two daughters out, freezing snow. Here's a cup of warm goat milk chai and warm pita bread with some marmalade. Like, dude, if you want marmalade, it's gonna take you 3 days to go get it. And this woman didn't know me. You know, I'm standing with a rifle in her backyard watching this road. Made me realize there's people here that are happy that we're here. We're trying to help, but you gotta go back to what Chris said about being an invader or being a visitor, right? You're one or the other. She treated me as a visitor and took care of me, so.
My drives are a little bit different. You know, over the past few years, I came to realize that I was the same age in 1989 as my daughter is now, and we're preparing to make the exact same mistakes as we made in Afghanistan in the 80s. And if we make those mistakes, those little girls, those little boys that go to school with my daughter, they're going to be going and they're going to be fighting there again in 10 years. We witnessed this happen in Iraq. We witnessed it happen in the 80s. We can do something different about it. We can make a change. It's not a cliche. We owe it to our kids to not have them go fight for our mistakes. I don't want them to pay for our sins.